Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Bill Belichick and Tom Brady had a phone call and a connection. In terms of the context of what happened during the call, my understanding is that it basically was like any call you would expect with Bill Belichick. And I don't think we can deduce anything one way or the other based on this initial phone call.
Mike Danger, this is the domino that everybody is waiting to see how it falls. Everybody wants to know where is he going, and then rosters can start to take shape, take form.
Gene Battaglia.
It sounds weird, but you want Tom Brady back in the division because, you know, it's not going to get any better, okay?
AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
We're back in the sports bar. Thanks for joining us. AM 950, 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. Mike Danger over here, Gene Battaglia over there from our radio.com sports sister station, WGR in Buffalo. Sal Capaccio on the line. Sal, how you been, man?
Good, guys. Good to be on with you again.
Yeah, Sal, as we're only 11 days away from legal tampering. Sal, you talked to Brandon Bean on Howard and Jeremy yesterday. What were your biggest takeaways after talking to the GM?
You know, he doesn't give you much this time of year, but I still get the feeling that, you know, he understands, and he's been quite clear how important edge rusher is in this league. Premium position, he's called that a couple of times with us on the radio. He called it that at the Combine, so... You know, I wonder, you know, how they're going to address that. They do need to upgrade there, and they need to get to the quarterback a little bit better. And, you know, he's made it a point to say, you know, they have to score more points on offense. That's the thing. And, you know, you wonder if that means playmakers, how they're going to go about getting that. But, you know, those are the things I think that, you know, you're going to concentrate on, and they're going to concentrate on this offseason, are, you know, edge rusher on defense, playmakers on offense, wide receiver most likely, and neither of those things come to any surprise for Bills fans, obviously.
And Sal, I think when I hear him say they need to score more points, yes, of course, everybody's going to say they need playmakers on offense, and that's absolutely true. But my bigger concern is, what's the offensive line going to look like? This was an offensive line that was kind of built last year on the fly. It came out well, but there were still some deficiencies in Josh Allen's game. He didn't have a ton of time to throw the ball, or at least he wasn't accurate when he was under duress through the course of the season. And you also have Quentin Spain set to hit the market as well. What do you see this team doing, this organization doing here in terms of free agency in the draft in addressing the offensive line? Do we see him take an offensive lineman in free agency and maybe not address it as heavily in the draft?
I don't think you'll see what they did last year. Last year was they made Mitch Morris the highest paid center in the league. And then they really went out and spent a lot of money on, you know, a bunch of offensive linemen. You know, it was more quantity over quality, but I think a lot of that quantity wound up being quality. John Feliciano had a really good year at guard. I thought Spencer Long, you know, he was actually a signee before free agency began because he was released by the Jets. He was a very nice interior swingman for them. I think they did a very nice job, and obviously they got Quentin Spain, who was also released, but now, like you said, he's a free agent. You know, listening to Sean McDermott at the Combine, he did not rule out Cody Ford moving inside the guard. And I thought Cody Ford struggled at tackle last year. I've always wondered if they think that, you know, but they're just going to keep working him there and working him there and getting him better because, you know, they can just develop him there. Or if they feel that long-term, you know, he should play guard. And there was a part of me last year that really believed maybe that they wanted him at guard all along, except for two things. Number one, Ty Insecki could not hold up a tackle all year because he's just got knees that aren't going to last 16 full games, and we saw that happen. And also because John Feliciano and Quentin Spain were playing so well. So why move Cody Ford there? Because you'd have to take one of them off the field. I think that might happen. We'll see, but I think we'll get an indication. If Quentin Spain is not re-signed, I think a logical move would be to move Cody Ford inside. And then I believe that offensive tackle becomes a very interesting prospect at pick number 22 in the draft.
Is there a possibility of filling, and I don't want to call it a hole because you still have Ty Insecki, but as you pointed out, can you really rely on him 16 games? Or is just the price tag of the tackle position for what you really need, Sal, is going to point in the direction, yeah, you really should go look at this in the draft?
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know if they want to spend the money on what a tackle would cost in the NFL. Tackles are expensive, and they've already sunk, high draft picks, and they moved up to take Cody Ford. They have the highest paid center in the league in Mitch Morse. And let's remember, Deion Dawkins has to get paid soon. He's a guy that's going into the final year of his rookie contract, and he's your franchise left tackle, essentially. I believe they have identified him as that. I don't think that there's a question on if they want to re-sign Deion Dawkins or not. I think they want to re-sign Deion Dawkins. So, how much money can you really spend in free agency if that's the plan on a starting right tackle? So I would think that is the case. And then you hope that Ty Insecki, even though he didn't hold up necessarily, he still played quite a bit, and he was good. He was better than Cody Ford when he played. The offense was better when he played. And he was out there. They rotated every other snap, every other series. It was two series on, two series off is what it was for each guy. And then, obviously, Insecki got hurt. He got rolled up on. There's nothing you could do. He did come out of a couple games, but, he is still under contract. Don't forget, you still have Adrian Waddle, who missed the whole season because he got hurt. He is a free agent, but if the team wanted to bring him back as another option at swing tackle, they could do that. So I think that they would probably go bargain hunting in free agency for a tackle, but probably really try to address it in the draft.
Sal, you mentioned them wanting to take care of Deion Dawkins here at some point. We've heard plenty of discussions around whether or when the right time will be to take care of Trey White. I'm curious as to what Brandon Bean had to say about taking care of their star corner.
He said that those things will happen. He said that deals get done when they're supposed to get done. And it is a balancing act as far as, do you want to use, they're going to exercise the fifth-year option on him. They have less than 2 months to do that. The deadline is early May. I'm sure we all know they're going to do that, unless a deal is done before then. And because Trey White, Deion Dawkins, and Matt Milano are all part of that 2017 draft class, once March 18th rolls around, they are allowed to sign new deals, because the rule is in the NFL that you can't do that until after you complete your third season on your rookie contract. Well, as of March 18th, they will have completed their third season, because that's when the old league year ends and the new league year begins. So if they want to do something like that with Tre'Davious White, that's fine. If not, they'll exercise his fifth-year option in May. They'll have him under contract for one more year, and then it's up to, okay, what do we do here for the next year as far as when we want to extend him, when he wants to extend, and how we want to go about this. Now, the new CBA, this is playing a little bit of a trick on this, I think, and we're going to see where this goes. So we'll know, obviously, by then, but let's just say there is no CBA signed, and we go into the year here without a CBA. I think that becomes a little bit more problematic for the Bills with Tre'Davious White, because the agent's going to want to see where everything goes. If there is a new CBA signed, and we understand some of the money that's coming in, well, I think that at least alleviates that issue with the red tape as far as wondering, but it also probably drives the price up for Tre'Davious White, because there are projections, guys, that say that the NFL cap is going to be $300 million in 5 years.
Sal Capaccio, Bill Seidlin reporter. Here's reports on WGR, our guest here in the sports bar. Sal, we had somebody I know you're close with on our show, Josh Reed from WIVB, joined us earlier in the week. And he had
heard of him. Never
no,
heard
okay,
of him,
then we'll just kind of forget that.
Yeah, he wasn't very good either.
No, it was a disappointing. Hey, he had a good take, Sal. And what makes a good take, in my opinion, when you say something and they're like, nah, it can't be right, and then you think about it and no, you know what? He's got a point. His point being, this is the time to extend Sean McDermott, that you never want to let this become a distraction. Sal, what, if anything, are you hearing? What are your thoughts? Because Sean McDermott has 2 years left on his contract. Do you come down in the camp that, hey, take care of this later on down the road, or you need to make a statement to the rest of the team that this is the coach for years here to come here in Buffalo?
I wouldn't worry about it. I don't think there's any danger in losing Sean McDermott at this point. I don't think it's anything the team needs to rush into. He's not in any danger of losing his job next year. If he's under contract for two more years, I think you can go into that last year and figure it out before then. Very, very rarely do coaches hit the market, per se, right? I mean, we saw one this year, Jason Garrett. They let him walk. He didn't get fired. Jason Garrett basically was allowed to leave because his contract was up, but that was because the Dallas Cowboys decided that they didn't want him as their coach anymore. Look, Sean McDermott, this is his baby, so to speak. He's building this. He's set. If you know anything about Sean McDermott, the culture that he's set and how he wants to run an operation and organization, this is what he's doing. I don't think he wants to go anywhere. He loves Buffalo. Of course, anything could happen, right? I mean, he sets himself up for, hey, another team's going to come calling. But listen, Terry and Kim Pegula, they'll make sure that Sean McDermott is taken care of when the time comes to take care of Sean McDermott.
Sal, I wanted to talk about some of the other coaching staff changes announced by the team yesterday. The promotion for Leslie Frazier is obviously well-deserved, and naming him assistant head coach, a guy with that much head coaching experience and a guy who's done what he's done since joining Buffalo, that's a no-brainer. A couple of notes. I thought the addition of a nickel coach speaks volumes to where the league is right now, and it's refreshing to see the Bills kind of on that forefront. And also a game management title for the assistant wide receiver coach. I'm curious as to what you know about that role and what that will entail on game days.
Yeah, let's start with the nickel coach. It's amazing, to see where football has evolved to, where we're now specializing in coaches for specific, positions within positions. I mean, that's really what it is. Mm-hmm. And by the way, with the Bills, that's a little bit different than what it would be for most teams because they also have a big nickel. They run a big nickel package, right? So you have Taron Johnson as your traditional slot corner. And then you have, Saran Neal, who would be your big nickel. And they would both be coached by Jimmy Salgado. And that would be his job. And you'd have the safeties being coached and the corners being coached by Bobby Babich, Bob Babich's son. Oh, he's the secondary coach. So he would do that. And John Butler would be back there, of course. And those guys would be he's the assistant. And they would be coaching these guys. And then Jimmy Salgado would be coaching just the corners. And I'm sorry, just the nickel corners. And how that would fit in is, basically, like any other position, you're coaching your guys if it's a D-line or a DN or a linebacker, but just that guy, so you can concentrate every day on having a dedicated coach to that position. I think that's amazing, to be able to do that and think about it in those terms because, yes, teams now play way more nickel, which is five defensive backs. For people who don't know, sometimes you assume people know these things. Nickel defense means five defensive backs. Dime defense means six defensive backs. And, you play so much nickel and dime now, especially nickel in the NFL, that, that's why it's become to this, to say, hey, we're going to need a guy to do this. And I did some research yesterday, and it looked to me like the Bills are the only team in the league employing this position. The Redskins do have someone with a nickel title, but it seems like they're also pulling double duty. It's not just a nickel. Jimmy Salgado looks like this is just his only job to work with the nickel cornerback. And then as far as the other one, the game management, I noticed it didn't say game management coach, it just said game management. And this is clearly tied into the analytics department. Sean McDermott is a coach who doesn't outright come out and say, we love analytics, but he does accept them and support them and has people on his staff to use them. And this is just another layer to that. Now he will have an actual coach on his staff, not just somebody in a back room somewhere, somebody in a different department. He's going to have a coach on his staff that's going to be in charge of and help out on game days. I'm assuming this is not from the team. This is just my assumption how it's going to work. Preparation, obviously, Monday through Saturday, but also on game day now, certain situations, timeout usage, replay usage, all those kinds of things that go into the game management.
I guess, we were kind of wondering, did he not have somebody upstairs in charge of this? Hey, coach, let's take a look at this, because what's the stat there? 12 out of 15 he hasn't gotten right over the 3 years, although it did improve a little bit this year. Sal, was there somebody in his designated in his headset?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, before? Okay, so
yeah,
now we...
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there was always someone there. I think people have made so much about that over the last couple of years because of his challenge rate, but it wasn't like he was doing things blind. They got him wrong. They just missed. But yeah, absolutely there has been. But I don't think this person is just because of replay. I think it's going to be a lot of things. At whatever it may be, I don't know what's going to be on his plate, but replay might be one of them, but it's timeouts. Maybe it's some sort of fourth and goal situation or going for two situation. I think there's a lot of that. But yeah, Sean McDermott's had those. And for the last few years, they've tried different ways of doing them. I couldn't tell you specifically what it is because in the offseason, I know they go through many, many hypotheticals and situations, and you know, I don't know who's up there talking to him, but I know it's a process that they do have people talking and telling him what to do and what he feels about things, and it just hasn't worked out.
Sal, the combine fresh in our minds. There was no shortage of exceptional performances in Indianapolis, and I'm curious if any caught your eye in terms of how they might fit should the Buffalo Bills select them in April.
Anything, guys. I'm actually more disappointed at a couple of the injuries. You know, Van Jefferson and LaVisca Chenault now come out with injuries that we know of that they're going to be missing some time. Now, it doesn't mean they're going to be not ready to participate in off-season activities for teams, but I think the Bills are a team that's really big on making sure that they get healthy people and healthy bodies. And it's not that they would, you know, never draft somebody that had an injury or anything like that, but I think when you come up and now we're finding out with a couple of these wide receivers that have had these injuries, they're going to require surgery or missing up to 2 months' time, I think that really kind of knocks their stock down as far as the Bills are concerned. And, you know, we all know that they do need that position, wide receiver, but I think now that suddenly becomes an area where you look at these guys and say, maybe that's not the right pick for us. You know, Mekhi Becton, the offensive tackle of Louisville, well, he was just a monster, right, on the way that he performed out there. Maybe that's a guy that the Bills, you know, could look at. He's 6'7", 369 pounds. He's just such a big dude. That's amazing, right? Yeah. You think about how big he is. And, you know, I thought that Justin Herbert did a really nice job at quarterback. Now, not that that's somebody that the Bills are going to target. They're not looking for a quarterback, obviously. Kalavon Chaisson of LSU, an edge rusher. I don't know if he'll be there at 22, but I really like, you know, what he brought to the table at the combine, and he could be someone that the Bills may really want to look at. So, yeah, it's interesting. If you look at the wide receiver group, you know, I'm torn a little bit on a guy like Donovan Peoples-Jones, and also Antonio Gandy-Golden, for different reasons. Donovan Peoples-Jones, wide receiver out of Michigan, you know, he's got the measurables that you want. The Bills are looking for a guy. I mean, he's not the biggest guy, but 6'2", 208, but, you know, but his size, he doesn't play as big as his size. You know, the Bills need a guy who plays a little bit bigger. It's funny, I always say, they don't need a big receiver. They need a guy, though, that's going to make big catches and make plays, and if you can play bigger than you are. Donovan Peoples-Jones, I think the question on him from Michigan, most people think he's going to be a better pro than he is was a college wide receiver, but, you know, can he get off press coverage? Is he big enough? Is he strong enough? And I don't know if he's going to translate that well in the NFL. Now, Antonio Gandy-Golden, 6'4", 222, I love everything about this kid except for one thing. He played at Liberty, and that's a big jump from Liberty to the NFL. And I wonder if he would be able to fit right into the NFL and play and be a guy who could be productive, because I think the Bills need someone who might be able to step on the field and kind of help them right away. And I love this kid. I just don't know if he can do that.
What are your thoughts on Chase Claypool? Because he put on a pretty good show as well, and he might be the guy that splits the difference between what you're talking about.
I love him, but I don't know if he's a first-round pick. There's so many really talented wide receivers that are going to go in the first round probably, and I don't need Chase Claypool. I wouldn't do that. Not that you're suggesting.
Not in the first round, no.
If you want him, I mean, if you wait to the second round, he might be there and you could take him. I mean, I would still take guys like Brandon Ayuk before. I love Brandon Ayuk a lot, you know. Brian Edwards, South Carolina. These are players that I think are first-round types of talents that, you know, of course, outside of the CeeDee Lambs, the Jerry Judys, and Henry Ruggs, you're not going to get to maybe by 22. But, you know, Jalen Reagor, will he be there? Claypool, I've liked him. He was one of the first guys I really did like, to be honest with you. And that is because, to me, he has the size. That's great. I think he checks that box. Not that you have to. I don't think it's a requirement, but I think it's a really big plus. But the biggest thing I love about him is kid is just versatile. And the Bills love versatility. He is a special teams guy. Like, he loves playing special teams. He embraces it, and he's very good at it. And when I talked about the Senior Bowl, you know, he explained not only did he play inside-outside, he played boundary, he played the field, he did everything as far as wide receiver is concerned. Some believe that he may be a guy that could transition more to tight end in the NFL. I don't think so. I think the way he plays, he's a wide receiver through and through, but I don't think he has a number one wide receiver skill set right now that maybe you could translate into that, but boy, he can help you in a lot of areas.
Sal, one last one for me here. You had mentioned, no, the Buffalo Bills are not going to be in the market for Justin Herbert, but should they be, whether that's free agency or maybe the mid-rounds, looking for another quarterback? And I would say this, especially if the new CBA goes through and your roster size goes up from 53 to a 55 in the practice squad, why would you not want to make that investment at the most important position?
100%. I wrote about this. I did my State of the Bills a while back, and you can check our website, your website as well, out in ESPN Rochester. And the first position I broke down was quarterback. And look, you have Matt Barkley cheap, but Matt Barkley is a nice player to have. He's been a nice mentor to Josh Allen, but he's also got 1 year left at his deal, and I think you want to get a little bit younger. Part of the reason you have Matt Barkley in the roster, a big part, is Josh Allen needed that veteran presence. He needs someone. When he had Derek Anderson and Matt Barkley together, that was great for him. Josh is going into his third year. After next year, maybe even now, I don't know if you need that anymore. Josh is becoming the veteran. He doesn't need that guy with him. And that's not a slight against Matt Barkley, but I think it changes why you have certain guys on your roster for certain roles. So now you look at, okay, how can we help ourselves going forward? How can we give ourselves a chance to have a young guy? And think about this. What happened when some of these guys went down last year? You look at Cam Newton, he goes down. Here comes Kyle Allen, and boom, just lights things up. What happened when Nick Foles went down? Here comes Gardner Minshew. Boom. These are guys that suddenly, if you have in your roster and they're young, they give you options. And if something happens to your franchise quarterback, you're sitting there going, okay, we got this guy. Now you start to think a little bit. I do think they need to add to the quarterback room. It's interesting. With the new CBA, if it does pass, yes, the roster is going to be expanded. But from what I understand, I think you have to have 8 offensive linemen on your active roster. So even though it's going to expand, I think one of those spots has to be taken up by an offensive lineman, essentially, maybe even 2 of them. But it does – you're not wrong. I mean, if you have an extra spot, especially in the practice squad, someone you could bring in, someone you could develop. And with the new CBA rules, it looks like it's going to be easier to get a guy from the practice squad to the big team and then back down without going through waivers. So it would be more like the AHL, with a guy going from Rochester to the Sabres now in the NFL, instead of having to pass through waivers and all those kinds of things like they do. So I think because of that, no doubt about it. I'd like to see them get a little bit younger. I'd like to see them draft somebody in the later rounds. I wonder if a guy like Jalen Hurts would be someone who would fit into Buffalo with his skill set, his versatility, what he's able to do. But that's going to be interesting to see.
Sal, quickly, before we let you go, where are you at with Tom Brady?
I have been on the Tom Brady will not be the Patriots quarterback in 2020 bandwagon, I guess, or I don't think it was a bandwagon when I started. I've been saying that for a year, guys, and I'm holding to it. And the reason why I've been saying it for a year is when he first signed his contract, it specifically had language that said that the Patriots cannot tag him after this year. That was a signal to me that both sides were at least willing to let it get this far. And now that it's gotten this far, my thought is, if you really wanted him back, he's freaking Tom Brady. You should have done it by now. They haven't. There's a reason why. I think Tom Brady is going to move on from the Patriots. I don't know where. I predict the Raiders a while ago. I think the Titans now are becoming much more of a serious contender in this. And I have a friend that is close to people down in Tampa, and he said now they're starting to heat up a little bit down in Tampa maybe. So I do not think Tom Brady's the quarterback of the Patriots in 2020.
Sal, really appreciate your time as we head to free agency. Thanks so much today. Let's do this again here before free agency begins.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
You got it, Sal. Sal Capaccio. You can hear more of Sal on our radio.com sister station, WGR in Buffalo. And, of course, read more of Sal's work at ESPNRochester.com. Great Bills coverage from our Sal Capaccio.
Yeah, that's the other kind of wrinkle here, that the roster management, it's going to completely change here if this new CBA goes through. Boy, the CBA danger. What did they say? 426 pages?
No, 456 pages.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. 30 more. All I know is when I get something, oh, here's our privacy rules. Okay, I'm not reading this. Click here. Oh, you're in your 401k. Here's the statement in the booklet that get once a month. No, throw it away. I mean, who is reading through this?
450 pages of legalese. Well, can we do this next? Because we got NFL appetizers coming up, and in NFL appetizers, I thought we would just kind of break down everything happening in the CBA. Can we take a little bit of a break here, come back, and serve up NFL appetizers and maybe do a little expanded NFL appetizers where we talk a little bit more about some of the things happening here in the CBA. So we'll get to this next. NFL appetizers brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place, making mouthwatering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years, online at alexsribs.com.
Yeah, so some of the stories there, of course, we do have the CBA update. We do have other stories here, including, remember, LeSean McCoy. What's going to happen with his future? Ooh, we've got some scheduling notes here. Now, remember, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. Usually, the team that wins the Super Bowl gets to open up the season. Uh-oh. Royals are playing at the same time. Well, we've got a resolution on that. We'll give you a little bit of scheduling news, and there might be a veteran tight end on the market right now.
All coming up next, NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester.
Buffalo Sabres hockey.
Eichel takes the shot, scores! The Eichel Tower in overtime!
Lives on ESPN Rochester. From puck drop on opening night and through the entire season.
Scores! Rasmus Dahlin!
Your Rochester home for the Sabres is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.